Hello?
Blog Talk Radio.
Here comes the ball. The lob. The jam! Oh, what a monster jam by DeAndre Jordan!
The jam!
The lob! The jam! What a play from Rivers and Jordan!
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, hi.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm kind of new to this setup, so let me see how this works.
That's okay.
Yeah. So the way it's set up, he has some audio lists here. So I'm just going to mess with the clips and just make sure I know which is which.
Okay, that works.
Okay.
All
right.
Get the rebound.
Remember where there's smoke.
Okay. All right. Well, I think all of this is recording right now, so we can just edit this beginning part out. One second. Let me just pull up that little rubric I had, and this can be pretty free flowing. I mean, I don't know how you want to do the intro. Do you want to do a "I'm Siobhan and he's Robert" kind of thing, or?
We can do that. I don't think we need to talk about Pat at all, and I think we can just keep going. Yeah, I think that's fine. So, I mean, are we still playing the intro clip or no? It doesn't really matter to me.
Yeah, I think I'll keep the intro clip, and we don't have to mention Pat. I'll just be like, "Hey everyone, I'm Siobhan," and then you can say, "And I'm Robert," and this is the Lob, and then I'll say, "This is the Lob, the Gem, the podcast," and we'll just go straight into it from there.
That's perfect.
Okay, cool. Let me just pull up that. Okay, give me 1 second.
It's okay. I'm just marking down how long the call, how deep in the recording is.
Yeah. I think we have like 50 minutes. I think we'll be okay. But yeah, I'll get it started in a minute.
Get
everything, all my game logs up. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, so I'm going to get started. And I hope the timing from the intro isn't too off. I think we should be okay. All right, I'm going to get started.
We're fine.
Hey everyone, this is Siobhan, and that's Robert.
This is Robert.
And we're the Lob, the Jam, the podcast, coming back after a little bit of a hiatus, coming back to talk about some Clipper basketball, and it's been a while, but there's been some stuff going on, and mostly a lot of wins, but some really disappointing losses. We were fresh off of the Laker win over the weekend, and we've had a bit of a few days off while we're waiting for this next Mavericks game. But things have been pretty good. One big thing I think we've learned over the last few days is Austin Rivers might be out the rest of the season, the rest of the regular season, which is really just four games. But that's kind of not ideal. At least it's not Blake Griffin or Chris Paul. But
yeah,
that's where we are right now. How do you feel about that, Robert?
Well, Austin Rivers is a pretty integral part of the Clippers. Obviously, he's no Chris Paul or Blake Griffin, but his absence is not great going into what will be a pretty tough playoff series against the Utah Jazz, which is almost certainly going to happen. Theoretically, it could be against Houston if the Clippers fall to six, but either way, it's going to be against a very tough opponent. And, you know, the Clippers will need every bit of help they can get, and that means having Austin Rivers, who's a very good bench point guard, combo guard, I guess I should say. And I'm not sure he's really – they're going to lose the series if he's not there. I don't think, like, it's you can write it off as a loss like you might if Paul was out or even somebody like J.J. Redick. But it's not great, and especially against the Utah team, which the Clippers have had some success against, but which is – on the whole, a very good team. You know, again, this is where seeding comes into play. Whereas, you know, if they were the 3 seed, or even better, the 2 seed, I think they could handle Oklahoma City or Memphis just fine without Austin Rivers. You know, against Utah, especially without home court, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a bit of a worry, especially considering Austin played pretty well against the Jazz this entire series this year, and. You know, just because Doc doesn't seem to want to stagger much, and he's been pretty consistent about doing those all bench minutes, especially to start second quarters and fourth quarters, you can really get worried about a dip because the Jazz have a good bench. Whatever they have, they're not the most consistent team, but they can their bench can get them on a roll a bit, and even just. Even just 2 or 3 minutes at a time to start the second and the fourth without Austin versus with him. I think that's the biggest concern, those minutes. I guess Austin does often play to end games in certain matchups. And I guess he could theoretically play against the Jazz to end matchups, but I think Doc has a decent amount of trust in his five-man lineup that includes Jamal instead of Luke for the most part. And I think that's what he would do against the Jazz, even if Austin was healthy. But it's just a concern, and you don't want to be banged up. But other than that, I mean, the team has been playing decently offensively. How do you like how the team's looked these last few games?
Well, so this is where it gets a little tricky. I think I can deny that they haven't played offensively, especially that Washington game. Washington, which is part of the tricky part, is not a very good defensive team. They're a good overall team, but they're not good defensively. And they've been especially bad recently. So the Clippers being unstoppable against them wasn't necessarily, you know, a sign of a right offense. I think that they are moving the ball better. I think they do look crisper. I think they look a little bit more just sprightly and like they're more like they're having fun. But that and like 2 games against the Lakers and a game against Phoenix, I mean, these are not juggernauts here. So I think they're hopeful signs, but it's hard for me to take too much away. It's definitely better than losing a bunch of games to those teams or struggling to score 100 against Phoenix or the Lakers. But I mean, I just don't know. The Jazz are tough defense. You know, Gobert is one of basically 2 contenders for Defensive Player of the Year. And it's, you know, drives to the hoop are just not going to happen, especially in playoff series, short rotations. He's to be playing 40 minutes a game probably. So I don't know. I mean, what were your thoughts on, you know, some of that ball movement, some of like the just offensive explosions? I think the one good thing is J.J. Redick does look hot, and that is
that's
really
the,
good.
That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
I mean, the biggest thing to me is if J.J. is playing well, which he really he wasn't, especially in that I think it was the Dallas game where he didn't play well at all. He had maybe went like 1 for 9, 2 for 9, had the game winner that he missed at the end there. He looked really poor. But after that, he's been getting better and better. He had a decent game against the Jazz, and then he had that great game against the Wizards. So that's my biggest thing, is getting JJ back to form, getting him to a consistent place. But like you said, you can't really take much from the Lakers and the Suns and even the Wizards. None of those teams are very good defensively. So it's not surprising that the Clippers managed to score north of 115 in each of those games. It was nice to score 108 against the Jazz, I believe. They scored quite a few points against the Jazz. But also that can kind of be chalked off to Crawford just having a great game and having one of those fire games that he's had. He's actually had quite a few games. Actually, one of the better things, I think, from the last 20 or so games has been the fact that, you know, Jamal Crawford looks like he has a little bit something left in the tank. And I think that he can play well against the Jazz. I mean, he already did in that Utah game. What are your thoughts about Crawford in a series against a team like the Jazz?
Well, the thing is, I've never been one of the Clippers fans who always dumped on Jamal, especially the past few years. There are definitely times that Doc overplays him. But I think he's one of those wild card players who, you know, every playoff team has just about. And the Clippers need to give him minutes, really, unless Austin really transformed into, like, a transcendent six-man, which he hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
He's been better. Mm-hmm. But and also with Felton at point guard, you know, he's been really good, but he's not somebody who you must give, you know, 25 minutes a game to.
Yeah.
You know, they have to play Jamal, and they just have to hope he's hot. And the entire year, I mean, his problem is always shot selection. It's not that he can't get open. He's somehow, I don't know how he does it. His handles are ridiculous. He had that move a couple of games ago that I've never seen before in my life, and I don't think anybody on NBA did this weird, like, half-spin crossover thing with he switched hands. It was ridiculous.
Who did he lose?
Oh, it was a pretty good defender too. I'm trying to think.
Who was it?
I'm just gonna type in Jamal dribble move and we'll see. His handle is still amazing. He can get open against anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Gordon Hayward's a good defender. Rodney Hood's a solid defender. They can't really consistently stop Jamal one-on-one. Nobody really can. The thing you have to do is force him into bad shots. But him being hot and playing well, that's a great sign. I think that when the offense is clicking, and especially now with Felton in, he doesn't have to have the ball as much. He can play off a little bit more and catch it more on the go instead of just settling and dribbling at the top of the key for his, you know, 30-foot contested threes, which when they go in are a backbreaker for the other team, and when they don't, usually leave to a fast break the other way. But, I mean, that's hopeful. JJ being hot, as you said, the Mavs game, he's very bad, and the five games since, he's been quite good. So those are both good signs. I think Jamal is going to close out games a lot, and it's tough because I don't know what your thoughts on this are, but against the Jazz, I feel like they're a perfect team to play with because their best offensive player, I think Gobert is the best overall player, but their best offensive player is Hayward, who Luke is a perfect fit to match up against.
I absolutely agree with that. I definitely think that Luke should be closing games and Luke should be playing a decent amount of minutes. He should be having that sort of situation where Hayward checks out and Luke checks out. Hayward checks back in and Luke checks back in. I'm not quite sure if Doc will do that because he has so much faith in Jamal. And I just feel like the more faith he has in Jamal in a series like that, it'll detract from Luke. But I think Luke, like you said, is perfect in that matchup. And I know we're not going to play the Spurs next, but if we did play the Spurs, he would be perfect in a matchup like that against a player like Kawhi. And I'm not sure he's the answer for Durant, but who is
Nobody
the answer
is.
For Durant? So, yeah exactly. And the Warriors seem to completely destroy Luke. So I'm not quite sure how much we can utilize Luke in a series against the Warriors, in a possible series against the Warriors. But I think he's the perfect fit for a team against the Jazz. The thing is, Jamal, like you said, he can get his shots off against a team like the Jazz. They don't really have a Tony Allen type or even a Kawhi type that can sporadically guard him and shut him down. I remember that Memphis series a few years ago when Jamal was probably had his best series as a Clipper. He had a few crazy shots against Tony Allen, but then just got shut down. And that's like something you can do to Jamal if you have somebody that can defend him, but they don't have that. So it's a conundrum as far as how much you want to play Jamal, how much is that detract from Luke. The only thing is, if Austin Rivers isn't playing the first couple of games, maybe that's a bit of a problem since we have one less guard to worry about. But it's definitely going to be a rotation issue, and that's definitely one of the things I'm looking at most. Are you feeling fairly confident that the Clippers can take home court in these last few games and maybe the Jazz lose a game or two down the line? They have a kind of a tough road to the fourth seed, but, you know, those teams like the Spurs and the Warriors might not be playing their full cavalry. What do you think about the race for the fourth seed?
Yeah, so they just beat Portland tonight, which is a game that, you know, Portland's been playing really well, and the Clippers might have hoped that Portland could steal that one. It's not. The Jazz have been inconsistent, as you said earlier. So, you know, at home against Minnesota should be a win, but who knows? I'm calling Anthony Towns is explosive, even against somebody like Gobert.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at Portland could be playing for something in two games. That there's no way, I don't think there's any way that they're going to be mathematically safe at that point. So they're going to be at Portland on Saturday, and Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, the Portland Trailblazers will be playing hard for that. As you said, Golden State, San Antonio, I mean, Golden State has just about locked up the one seed. San Antonio actually has six games left to play, which is a little weird. They're a little bit behind.
Oh, wow.
But they're 3.5 back. They're 3 losses back. It is unlikely they will have anything to play at the last game of the season. It's pretty unlikely Golden State will have anything to play for on the second to last game. So it wouldn't be shocking to me if they took 3 of those games, which isn't great. Clippers have a very easy last – actually, it's not that easy. They have 2 should-be wins and then 2 pretty tough games. So if the Clippers only win 2, let's say they win 3, they would need Utah to lose. They would need Utah to go 2-2, which could happen, but it's tough. I don't think you can rule it out, but it's definitely not a lock that they can get that fourth seed. The loss tonight by the Blazers really harmed the Clippers here. But I think they should be safe at 6. And I know there's a faction of the Clippers fans that really want to fall to 6 so they can take on Houston. I don't want any part of the Rockets. I mean, obviously, I'd rather play them than the Warriors in the second round. But I think that's getting ahead of ourselves. We all know how the Clippers can screw up a series. So just looking ahead to the Warriors is, I don't know about that. Honestly, Houston is a better team than the Clippers are anyway, and they would have home court. So I just don't know. I think they're locked into 4 or 5, and it's not looking great, to be honest. I think they can beat Utah. I think that's about it. I don't think I would take them against Golden State. If they fell to 6, I wouldn't take them against the Rockets. If they somehow beat the Rockets, I would take them against San Antonio. But again, that's looking very far ahead. So, it's tough. I mean, as we discussed, you know, their offense looked a bit better, and that's all well and good. But they need to get stops, and they need to get stops at a semi-consistent basis against a team, even like Utah, which doesn't have a great offense. But, again, rotations will be shortened. You're going to see a whole lot of Hayward, a whole lot of Gobert, a lot of George Hill, and those guys are all really good. So, I don't know. I think they get the 5. I don't think they pass Utah, to make a long story short. I think they're at an advantage in the first round, and that's a toss-up series, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I am right now, too. I was really hoping that the Blazers would win today. It was a big game. I think the Jazz played without 3 starters, but it was the second game of a back-to-back for the Blazers. And it was looking pretty much how it looked. They got blown out tonight, which is a little bit surprising. But
yeah,
they might have just got tired legs down the stretch. Got outscored quite a bit in the fourth quarter. I'd have no interest in the Rockets. I would much rather play the Clippers, play themselves into shape a bit, kind of hone in on their defense. Their defenses look terrible, and really, there's little to say that they can really whip up their defense these last few games. They haven't been defending very well. They've been getting sharper offensively, but again, the competition has been next to nothing. So I really don't see a situation where the Clippers suddenly can flip a switch against a team like the Rockets, who have been looking just unstoppable from the offensive point of view. That's a really big stretch to think that the Clippers can just kind of turn it on. And we've seen some players like Blake. I remember a few years ago, looked disinterested defensively all year, but then turned it on against the Spurs a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he can do that again. Blake has been looking fantastic recently, but it's kind of hard to depend on that from the entire team. And this James Harden is not the same James Harden we defended a few years ago. He's actually surrounded by shooters. So I want no part of Houston in the first round, unfortunately. As much as I would love the revenge series, I don't think that we would be getting even. I think we would be falling behind another series. But
I agree with that. You know, Houston they're terrifying to me. I mean, I think they're beatable. I don't think, you know, a healthy Warriors team to me is just like, it's game over unless you have LeBron or maybe Houston. But, and they're not unbeatable, but I think they're a very poor matchup for the Clippers. I think Luka is a great defender. I don't think he's a great match for Harden. The Clippers would be stretched super thin when the Rockets do their small lineups. Blake would have to be out on the perimeter. It would take him away from the glass. You know, DJ would be chasing guys everywhere. He'd be getting lots of one-on-one ISOs, which he's pretty good at, but I mean, it tires him out. The Houston bench is so much better than the Clippers. Even though the Clippers bench isn't bad, but, you know, Lou Williams and Eric Gordon will light the Clippers bench on fire, especially if there's no Austin Rivers to even play some semblance of perimeter defense. It's going to be a parade of threes. So I have no interest in falling to six. And even if you do beat them, again, San Antonio, I think the Clippers are a good match, but San Antonio is a really good team. They're obviously no Golden State, but I just don't know. I'm still really pessimistic. I think a lot of Clippers fans are a bit more optimistic than I am right now because of some of their seven of their last nine, I believe. And
yeah.
You know, the offense has looked better, and Blake has, as you said, played amazing along with Redick and Jamal lately. But I can't find it in me right now. We probably should talk a little bit about Blake, though.
Oh yeah, Blake's played great. He had four threes against the Lakers, including a few of really highlight type quality. He looks great. He's looked very in control. His three-point shot is actually really wonderful. He shows less hesitation on that shot than any shot he takes, which is kind of crazy. But he looks very, very much dialed in offensively. I mean, defensively, nobody looks quite dialed in, but it's nice to see Blake kind of clicking, and it's nice to see him rolling offensively. How have you noticed any new wrinkles from him comparatively, or what do you think of Blake in his play in the last few games?
I don't know about new wrinkles. I think the three-point shot is huge. I mean, I wrote this huge article a couple of months ago about, you know, his career and how I think he's been a bit of a disappointment. And a lot of that was really centered. The only really fault I had with him was that he's been very slow to move beyond the three-point arc. And since the All-Star break, he's been taking a decent amount of them game, like usually 3 to 4, making them at a league average clip, 35%, which is all you can really want from somebody like Blake, who's not a natural shooter. He's not all of a sudden going to become Ryan Anderson and start just sniping 30-foot threes. So that is really important, especially against a potential Warriors matchup, because it would drag his defender out of the paint, you know, especially if Draymond is on him. You know, it would get him away from the basket, which is very important, because as much as I hate Draymond, the man knows how to play defense. And you know, that could be huge, and that is maybe the main positive. But at the same time, We've seen flashes, maybe not this much, but we've seen, you know, short stretches where he's taken and made a few more threes, and then he'll have a bad game and he'll stop taking them. So
yeah,
it's possible Doc or Paul or whoever got on him and was like, look, you need to take open threes and take them,
mm-hmm.
you know, take them smoothly, just go up with it. Maybe he's been working on it all year, but just like injuries and the team's general, you know, bad habits and uneven plays kept him out of it. That is hopeful. He's looked mm-hmm. really good. He's looked healthy. I mean, I think it was Bill Simmons had a tweet about how he hasn't seen a big dump from Blake recently, and they don't come around as much, but he's 28.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a million leg injuries, and
mm-hmm.
I think he still unleashes sometimes, but I think that part of his career is over. But that doesn't mean he has to be ineffective or even, you know, not
mm-hmm.
great. He can still be great if he can shoot more. So
mm-hmm.
this is a really positive sign. It's still a super small sample size. Fingers crossed he can keep it going.
Yeah, I think Simmons said that at the Wizards game, and Blake had like 26,
yeah.
10, and 9, and a handful of spectacular, not spectacular, but a handful of really nice dunks, especially in the third quarter. So I think he's a little bit of a hater for that tweet, but
The Washington game was a bit interesting just because it was a good win against a good team, but at the same time, like Wall and Beal to a lesser extent just were getting open every single time down the court.
Mm-hmm.
And that's disheartening because I know both those players are very good. I mean, Wall's being talked about as a bottom line MVP candidate. Beal should have been an all-star. I mean,
mm-hmm.
potential Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, that doesn't bode well. You know, James Harden, Lou Williams, James Harden, whoever on that team, you know,
mm-hmm.
those guys are getting open shots a lot. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, Blake Griffin is actually a good matchup against Jazz, especially without Derek Favors, because they
mm-hmm.
generally go small. And
mm-hmm.
while Joe Johnson played really good defense against him the other day, the other game, I can't expect that to last over an entire series. If it does, then the Clippers have bigger problems. if Joe Johnson can lock up Blake Griffin mostly in the paint and post for a 7-game series, then, I mean, it's bad. That's bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I have hope for him and for the team. I mean, I still think that defensively, he and Redick is just two kind of weakish links to have in an NBA where it's getting very hard to play that many at once. And that's always going to be an issue. Like, I love JJ. I think his defense for a while was underrated because I think people thought he was a seam, and he wasn't. But he's still not a good man-to-man defender. And against a team
mm-hmm.
with five threats on the floor, like Houston or Golden State, or even the Jazz to a lesser extent when they go small, I mean, he'd have to guard somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is it going to be
mm-hmm.
Is it going to be Joe Johnson? Is it going to be – can't be Gordon Hayward. Probably can't be George Hill either. So, I mean – and the Clippers need him on the court for his offense. So,
mm-hmm.
I just don't know. I mean, the beginning of the season was just – they were so good on that end. But, I mean, it could have just been a fluke. The opposition was pretty easy. They were all
mm-hmm.
super fresh.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just – it's hard for me to say. But the Blake thing getting off – as usual with Blake nowadays, it just seems like the conversation just drifts away from him. He's played amazing, at least on offense. And you have to think that in a playoff series, we would see playoff Blake again. And that could be spectacular if he's healthy.
Yeah. Going back to the defensive thing, a nice thing about Blake is early on in the season, he seemed to show a decent capability in switching, especially switching
mm-hmm.
onto smaller guards. He was able to keep up quite a bit. And I remember he was talking in excitement, even about a prospective Golden State series. Like, he was talking about the only way to keep up with these players is to be able to switch, and that he was excited to the opportunity of switching, and he liked the idea of switching everything. And he looked good at it. He looked like he could play the part. And we know that Blake can dial it up defensively a bit, not like shut down anybody with his length, but he has the capability of switching. He has the capability of moving his feet. So I don't think he's a hopeless cause. And like you were saying about JJ, I think the biggest thing with JJ is the league is just getting more and more athletic, and JJ is just a yesteryears type shooting guard, and he doesn't have the arms. He loves to run around screens, but he's just not a very athletic player. He was so good at guarding a player like Harden because he did it in a scheme, and when Harden didn't really have options to kick out for open threes because all the shooters around him back then weren't very good. So he's always been fantastic in a scheme and a team defense. He's a heady player, but against a player like Klay Thompson who can just shoot over him, a player like Bradley Beal who could just run past him, a player like even a Lou Williams type who has the speed to get by him, it's just tough. And Rodney Hood even is not a good matchup because Hood is one of the newer, can get to the rim, almost do it all type shooting guards. And it's just a tough matchup for him. A nice thing from the Wizards game is it seemed like Luke was having some success against Bradley Beal, but I still don't think Luke is the type of player that can stay in front of like a hyper quick guard like that. And the John Wall/Russell Westbrook type guard is just a mess against the Clippers. As great as Chris Paul is, he's great against a player like Steph Curry who won't out quick you necessarily, but he can stay in front of a player like Westbrook or a John Wall type. There's no answer because Chris can't stay in front of those players. And even if you give somebody like John Wall 5 feet, I remember there was a play where Redick, I'm not sure who mentioned this in one of their recaps, but there was a play where Redick gave Wall like 10 feet and still got boned by. It was incredible. He's so quick. And I understand why people were kind of worried about a Thunder matchup, even though I think the Clippers would handle the Thunder with ease because the rest of their team is just not very good. But Russell Westbrook's fast guards are not an easy matchup for a team like the Clippers. Nice thing about it is that most of these elite teams outside of a team like, I guess, the Wizards or the Thunder who aren't necessarily elite, they don't really have super quick guards. So somebody like Paul, I think, could handle a player like Curry one-on-one, but handled to an extent because we've seen Chris have somebody like Klay shooting up over Redick. There's just nothing you can do. He can get any shot that he wants, and it's not from lack of effort from Redick. He just doesn't have the physical tools to do it. So it's a shame. But aside from that, I think the Jazz are a decent matchup. Gobert, as difficult as he is, at least not somebody that'll pull DJ from the paint like somebody like Marc Gasol. Zoom with frequency. It's nice. DJ will just be able to guard the paint with a player like Gobert because he's not going to be coming out. I think in a lot of ways, the two teams are very similar. They match up in similar ways. You have a heady point guard like Hill going against somebody like Paul. Hayward is a nice matchup for Luke. Rodney Hood is a nice scorer. They have a really nice overall team, but the biggest thing is I like that DJ can stay around the paint and really just boost the defense down low. I think they could low scoring games. And just like the Clippers in that matchup, if the Clippers had home court, how would you see that series playing off? And if they didn't, how would you see that series playing out, Robert?
So I agree with you. I think it is a good matchup for the Clippers. I think the Jazz, as I've said a couple times, are very good. Gobert is awesome. And Hayward has just turned into a very good all-around wing. But as you said, they're not a horrible matchup. Luke can guard Hayward pretty well. Jordan can, to some extent, cancel out Gobert. Paul is better than Hill. You know, Hood can kind of score on JJ, but JJ can, in turn, score on him. And then, of course, the big advantage would be Blake against who? It's not probably not going to be Derek Favors, at least not a healthy one. Or Diao, like that might have been scary 3 or 4 years ago. A small Joe Johnson, I mean Trey Lyles. Blake needs to dominate this series. He really does. You know, Paul and Jordan obviously need to play well too, but this needs to be Blake's series if the Clippers are to win. So to answer your question, if the Clippers have home court, I think they will win. I think they can win, and you know, they could even win in 5, maybe. I don't think that's outlandish. If they don't have home court, that can swing a series a lot. I think I would still give them the edge. I think that they could win in 6. But I think just in terms of win-loss, I'd say if the Clippers have home court, I'd give them like an 80% chance to win, maybe like a little higher. If it's home, if the Jazz have home court, I'd give them like a little over 50%, like 55.
Yeah.
It would basically be a toss-up. It's tough because the Jazz do have a really good home court.
Yeah, they do.
The Clippers play better at home, obviously, but I wouldn't say they're an unbeatable home team by any means. Just look at that Sacramento Kings game. Yeah, so I think I just have them favored overall. I would say that confidently if they have home court, not so confidently if they didn't. Austin does change the equation a little bit. But I'm not sure. He's played well against them, but he's not a critical piece against them. Against a team like the Warriors, you need like every man available except for Paul Pierce, who can sit on the bench. But yeah, I'm so glad that experiment might be over.
I hope so.
but anyway, if the Clippers have home court favored, if they don't, kind of favored. What are your thoughts?
Well, I feel the same way. I think the Clippers in six, if they don't have home court, which seems to be the most likely possibility, I think, you know, I don't find the Jazz to be the most consistent team. Not like I could say the same about the Clippers, but the Jazz's first playoff experience in quite some time was core, so... And as good as Hayward is, I like Luke guarding him down the stretch of games if they have to go to Hayward. And outside that, I'm not sure where else they would go for a consistent offense. Maybe they could go George Hill, but I think Paul is the kind of player that can guard a player like George Hill pretty effectively. Maybe they would go Hood. I know Hood's taken some big shots this year. He had a game winner earlier in the year against the Mavericks, I remember. But I'm not so sure. I just don't know how reliable they're going to be in a half court set against the defenders we have to play them. So I do think the Clippers have a decent chance to maybe win that series in six, but I also think they have the chance to lose the series in seven. So
yeah,
it's not going to be an easy thing. I know Blake had a great has had good games against the Jazz, and he had a particularly good game against the Jazz in that game that the Clippers won at Utah without Paul. That was a pretty impressive game. That was a pretty one of the more impressive stretches the Clippers have had this year, even though it came without Chris. So hopefully we can see that Blake, and like you said, he just needs to completely dominate. That's really the only chance the Clippers have, because a lot of those other matchups are going to be fairly close. A lot of them are canceled out. Even Chris, I think Chris will play well. But George Hill is an underrated point guard, and he's not going to necessarily cancel out Chris, but he's a good defender. So he might bother Chris a little bit. So it's not like there's any other matchup that really just screams advantage. It's really going to be up to Blake to really get that series under the Clippers' will. What do you think about, like you said, about Pierce finally being out? What do you think about Doc's recent rotations? About the fact that he still won't quite stagger, but he is sort of bringing either DJ or Blake off the bench a little bit earlier in the second and fourth quarters, maybe at the 10-minute mark or so, especially DJ. So maybe that'll decrease the fact that the bench is absolutely terrible a little bit. But what do you think about Doc's rotations? Do we have any hopes that he might stagger his superstars? We just have to deal with the fact that we're going to get at least a few minutes, at least like a half a dozen minutes of all bench throughout the playoffs.
I think that the idea of a full stagger, as one of Clips Nation's writers, Eric, talked about last week in a very good article, the idea of a full stagger like Golden State does, where they always have one of their best players on the court, and quite often two, but that's just because they have a luxury of having four great players. I don't think that's going to happen. I do think that he will probably stick with the bringing Blake or DJ back. And I particularly like the DJ, because if you get most space in with the starters, it spaces the floor more for Blake. And then DJ can help anchor, you know, a very porous bench defense. So I do like that rotation, subbing DJ out a little bit early, bringing him back in, and also avoids hacking a little bit, though that really hasn't been that much of a thing.
Yeah.
So I do think he will hold to that, and in the playoffs, rotations will get cut. I have a feeling Raymond Felton will be, sadly, see his minutes cut. Obviously, at the expense of Chris Paul, which is fine, but also Jamal Crawford, which is a little less fine.
Yeah.
I hope that he does play Luke a lot against the Jazz. Said Hayward, he should be in just about every minute Hayward is in. You know, even if that's a lot, you have to play him. The Clippers have nobody else on their roster outside of maybe a player from, like, Wes Johnson, or he's actually been fine on defense, but he's not like a one-on-one guy. I don't think a full stagger is going to happen. I think he'll keep up with the rotations. He'll shorten the minutes a little bit, which will help. But as we saw in that awful hate talking about Houston series, while the Clippers did choke, they were also exhausted because that was the year they had no bench, and the starters were all playing huge minutes. JJ's legs were dead because he was defending Harden, and you know, Griffin was exhausted. I mean, they just beat the Spurs in a tough series, and
yeah,
it, like, that could very well end up happening again this year, especially without Austin. So I'm afraid about it. I really hope Pierce doesn't come back. I just can't. I can't even, as the saying goes. When I see him, I just sigh. And it's almost fun rooting for him to score, but it's just so bad. I mean, Kelly Oubre, of
he's
all
so
people.
Oh, my God.
Owns him. Like, there were three consecutive plays where he had, like, a putback where Pierce was just – he just went straight over Pierce. Like, Pierce wasn't even there.
It was almost like literally Pierce was just one of those like cardboard stickouts that you just put out there. Oubre was practicing spinning, and it was just so funny.
It was awful. And Oubre isn't bad, but, like, he's not an offensive player. He can barely dribble, and, like, he just destroyed Pierce. And in the playoffs against any bench player against the Jazz, he could maybe guard Boris Diaw, like, maybe, but why? And he can't even shoot anymore either. Teams kind of still cover him from three, but not really. I guess he provides more spacing than Wes Johnson, but I don't think Wes would get minutes either. I would much rather see Wes play, even though he's been a disaster on offense. At least he's okay on one end of the court. Pierce is okay on neither. I'd rather see Al Anderson get minutes. The only player who I think I would rather not see is Diamond Stone, just because Pierce at least, like, knows where he's going. Bryce Johnson too, but I mean,
yeah,
it's not good. If I see actual rotation minutes of him in the playoffs, it will be it will be throwing remote at the TV time.
Pretty much, he's amazingly bad, and it's kind of a shame because I never liked Paul Pierce even when he was a Celtic, and he kind of drew me in with that one Washington postseason, and we got him, and I was like, hey, maybe. Maybe Paul Pierce will be good. He had like one mid-range jumper against the Kings that very first road game. I remember I was like, "Hey, Paul Pierce, that's looking pretty good." Yeah. And then he just got
got worse
and worse and worse, and he's so bad. It's really incredible how bad he is. But hey, Doc seems to be over it, and I'm glad. And I mean, it's incredible how the Clippers really just have one legitimate small forward on this entire team. Wes has been just awful, incredibly. Yeah. I thought for sure Wes would be better recovering from that plantar fasciitis, but his shooting has fallen off even worse. I can't believe it. But I would definitely much rather see Wes in the game than Paul Pierce. And if we had to have like a small ball four, sort of like how we had in the beginning of the year, if we had to do that, then maybe play Wes. Really, ultimately, if we have a healthy team, best thing to do might be just going small ball, even as bad as that might be against a team like the Jazz, who can kind of get big with Joe Johnson. Actually, I guess they go fairly small, so maybe that can work against a team like the Jazz, but it's kind of a shame.
Yeah, and I don't think we've seen much of Luke at the four, and I mean, he's not prototypical small ball forward because he can't shoot, like, at all. But if you're going to go small, at least play somebody who, you know, he's not a threat on offense, but at least he does the right thing most of the time. And
yeah,
he's a fantastic – I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't just play him. Again, you have to play your best player's minutes. And Luke, against non-Warriors teams, needs to be playing at least – and 25 is at the low end. You know, 7 or 8 minutes of the starters. You could take him out for Austin or Jamal, but you should put him back in off the bench. You know, if it's Jamal, Austin, Felton, play him at the four and then space at the five. I'd rather see him than Wes or Pierce. He just, he needs to be playing more, and it's just frustrating.
No, I was just about to say that, but I don't know if we've ever really seen, I think I was just talking about this with Lucas, but I don't know if I've ever seen a Luke, DJ 4-5 combo, even though I would love to see it, them two at the 4-5 and maybe just the three guards, like you said, attacking the hole and so have some sort of kind of something on our back line kind of helping us out defensively. Mm-hmm. We can have Luke in the corner, which shooting fairly effectively from three with Jamal, Raymond, and Austin just attacking, or even, like you said, Luke with Spates. I would be completely for it, but it doesn't seem to be really something Doc is doing. And I guess in the Jazz series, if we just shadow him against Hayward, I'm fine with that. Even if he's not necessarily playing four, if he's just constantly shadowing Hayward, coming in, coming out with him, I'm good with that. And I hope that's something Doc looks to do, because Doc's done it in the past against other small forwards. So I hope he does it against Hayward. Yeah. Any other final thoughts before we call this an episode?
Just looking at the last four games, the season will be basically over by a week from now. You know, they have to win the game at home against Dallas. That's just a must win. At San Antonio will be tough because San Antonio will probably be playing. Though, who knows with Pop? It's possible they're gone from the one seed, and it's not like Houston can catch them. So it's possible Pop rests his guys. Houston is completely locked into three. So Monday, April 10th, and they pride themselves on not resting, but maybe they only play limited minutes. Maybe Harden doesn't try at all on defense.
really?
There's a path to them winning all four. I think they probably drop one of them. It's probably going to be the game at home against the Kings again. They're probably going to lose to like a Buddy Hield three or something. I can imagine that. And
oh my goodness. Yeah. I can imagine. The nice thing about the Spurs game, it's on the second game, of a back-to-back for the Spurs, and Pop does like resting his guys on the second game of a back-to-back. So hopefully he chooses to rest them, on that game. They have a road game the day before, but it's only in Dallas. So he could always rest them the Dallas game and just tell them to stay home. So we'll see. Hopefully he picks the second game rather than the first game. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely a path for them winning out. They're going to be fairly rested, which is a good thing. They're not going to have any back-to-backs the rest of the way. So they'll be rested for the Spurs game, definitely, because I think they'll have a couple games off before the Spurs, and they'll have a game off for the Rockets. So hopefully they'll be ready. That Rockets game will be nice to see. It'll be nice to see a good showing, because really we've only had that one game against the Rockets, and really the bench just took over that game and sort of made it an afterthought super quickly. So it'll be nice to see if the bench can kind of hold their own against the Rockets and not let Patrick Beverley look like Russell Westbrook out there and get like 12 rebounds against DeAndre and Blake. I can't even for a lot of things. But, you know, there are Clippers, and I think we're going to call that an episode. So for Robert, I'm Chapon. We'll probably see you guys in about a week, and maybe talk a little bit about the playoffs, and maybe we'll see you fairly frequently during the postseason. But thanks for listening, and we'll catch you guys next time.
Bingo! JJ in the corner for three. Bingo! Two in a row for JJ. Big shot!